mobile low-bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your mobile device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
Hey. Hey, you. If you're listening to this and don't want to hear expletives, you probably shouldn't listen to it. It's gonna get interesting.
Hi, this is Dills from The Instance and The Angry Chicken, and you're listening to Geek.io, where you put geek in and geek out.
Mobile audio stream enabled at mobile.alphageekradio.com. Chat room enabled at geek-io.com/live. Geek.io initialized.
We're geeking out across the globe, so tuck in and hold on to your butts. It's time for the Geek.io show.
Geek.io. Put geek in and geek out.
I don't see the penis, but welcome to Geek.io, your weekly dose of geeky goodness, episode 69, recorded Wednesday. What? Wednesday? The 2nd of July, 2014. I am your host, CJ Boat.
I'm Rachel Boat.
I'm Jared Esvito, and I definitely saw no penis.
Vito used to be in front of me, so I'm very confused.
I'm Jared Budlong, and Rachel sounded like Pikachu!
I'm Dio Campbell.
And joining us this week, the man who does everything. I mean, seriously, what does this guy not do? He teaches, sings, writes novels, music, and somehow has the time also to host the Functional Nerds podcast, the international court recording sensation, rock legend, and all-around awesome dude, John Anilio.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate being here.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it.
You know, I think it's awesome that you and this is a very common mistake that you put that I write novels, because I don't actually write novels. I just I interview a ton of novelists, and I think about half of the internet thinks I write novels. I'm not trying to dispel that rumor, because maybe someday I will. If you go to my Twitter page and you go to like the groups I'm listed in, at least half of them are science fiction writers, fantasy, like I'm listed in all those groups.
Well, didn't you do like a NaNoWriMo a couple times?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Leslie, a writer.
Okay. Yes, I can justify
that. That counts.
Yeah. You're a teacher.
Yeah, I am a teacher. And
you write IEPs?
I don't write IEPs because I'm a news teacher, but my son is autistic, so I'm firmly aware of IEPs and being
then,
on both sides
of
those
meetings.
Then
you write a novel. I can justify that for you.
And the help that is. No, but I did, I forget about NaNoWriMo a lot because I did do, I'm doing air quotes now for the people not doing the show. I did win NaNoWriMo two times, because all you have to do to win NaNoWriMo is to just
complete.
Just hit 50,000 words. So I hit 50,000 words twice. Yeah, I think it was 2006 and 2007 that I did that. And that was a big accomplishment, just because I was one of those guys that when I was in high school and college, if it was a 10-page paper, my paper would be 9 pages with one sentence on the 10th page. So I always had trouble writing. That was, yeah, so I don't know. For some reason, I got it in my head that I wanted to do that. And I did it. And honestly, it actually is what sort of led to me doing the kind of music that I've been doing for the past 7 years or so, sort of bridging those two worlds a little bit. So one day I might want to actually try to write like a real novel that but I'm not at that phase quite yet, but yeah. So thank you. So you know what? You're right. You should include novelists in my bio. It's totally makes sense.
It just sounds nice. It just flows with everything else around it.
Yes.
True. Hmm.
So, how are you this evening?
I'm pretty good. It is, as you alluded to, I am a teacher, and so my summer break started this week. Really, my last day of school was last Wednesday, so it's nice. To. Although I haven't done much with my time yet, but it is nice to have the time off. Rachel, are you in education as well? Is that you were talking about IEPs before?
She's muted, but she's a pre-service teacher.
Oh, okay.
She's actually
No, I just snuck back into the room because we have two little ones that are deciding that banging on the office wall is the way to go.
Oh, I got you.
It's mommy's attention. It's what counts.
Oh, yeah. No, yes and no. Right now, I'm actually a pre-service teacher. I am right before my second practicum, and my internship.
You get, if you're a teacher, you do get a lot of guff from people who don't work in education about, like, it's so easy being a teacher. You have the whole summer off. It's so great. It's like, well, we don't get paid in the summer, so that's number one.
Well, we do, but only if we choose to actually spread our payout in Florida. They give us that option.
Yeah, you could do that too, but that I don't take that option. I want all the money right away. so most teachers end up, you know, having to supplement their income, you know, by taking other jobs, which I do, you know. So, and I'm fortunate enough where I could teach a lot privately and I make a little money with my music and all. So over the, you know, it kind of works out. But if you were, and I teach in an elementary school. By this time of year, you know,
you're fried.
Yeah, everyone's fried. I mean, I would like to see, and I know in other parts of the country and other parts of the world, the school year is a little different, but I'm one of those people that actually would instead of having like a big 2 month break in the summer, 2.5 month break in summer, I'd rather see that sort of spread out over the school year. Like, I'd rather have, like, you know, 3 weeks off in the summer and then 3 weeks off in another time of the year. And, you know, I'd rather see that, but I don't know if that'll ever, you know, because our kids have to be home for the whole summer so they can help us farm. That's why.
Important. Yeah.
Because that still happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the school year was like that. But it's like, no one has a farm anymore. So,
not even farmers have farms anymore.
Can we say daylight savings time? Same issue.
Yeah, daylight savings time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I live in a time zone that we don't observe daylight savings time, so I can fully complain.
Well, aren't you special?
But it completely screws him up even worse when I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm no longer like, I'm still listed as GMT minus 5, but really I'm minus 4, but I'm not still minus 5, and then Dale and let me get a world calculator.
And then Dale starts punching.
I hate half of the year.
What's best is what's really good is when you work mobily in a vehicle and your area covers two time zones. So you're like, yeah, we'll be at your house between 8 and 12. Well, kinda, because it depends on when I finish in this time zone and when I can get to you in your time zone. So later today.
That just anywhere between 7 and 1.
We will be there.
Just add an extra hour on either side.
Right.
At some point today.
But that's pretty much appropriate how your company usually handles things. So, you know, that works.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. Ouch.
Maybe not him personally, but every other experience I've had with his company, I'm trying to be nice and not name.
In the pre-show, we discussed a little bit of corporations and other entities being very similar, and it's not just my company that has issues with that. So I'll leave it there.
So, all right. Well, I kind of introduced this as Musician Month, but it just so happens that you do like all of the things, John. frankly, you are the busiest man I have ever talked to, but yet somehow it's like, yeah, sure, I have no problem coming on to your little pissant show.
I'm happy if anybody takes an interest in anything that I do. And I know from doing a podcast, like, I'm always, you know, on Functional Nerds, like, we've had some pretty big, you know, with the exception of like Neil Gaiman and George R. R. Martin, we've had just about every like big author in science fiction and fantasy on the show. And I'm always so surprised with how quick they are to say yes, you know, like, you know, I'm always, we were talking about Tom Merritt and I think in the pre-show, and Tom obviously does Sword and Laser with Veronica Belmont. And you know, Tom and I were, because actually that's how Tom is the reason that I got involved in the Frog Pants community at all, because he, Charcy, and this is too boring, and you can make me rush through the story, but Tom what was happening was, just as I was sort of getting started doing the kind of music that I do, I, like a lot of musicians that do this sort of thing, was very inspired by Jonathan Coulton and by when he did his thing a week. I think that was, he's an amazing example and inspired a lot of us to do what we do, because he really got very successful doing it his own way and putting it out using, and that was like a new thing back then. And a lot of people have copied that, not nearly to the excess that he had. And it's because he's the best. That's because I always hear a lot of musicians sort of poo-poo, or I shouldn't say a lot. Sometimes I hear musicians be like, oh, he was in the right place at the right time. And okay, maybe there's a little bit of that, but it's because he's awesome. That's why he did so well.
Yes.
So I started doing this. And like I said before, like with NaNoWriMo, after I'd done that, I was like, well, what if I try to bridge these two worlds? And so I started writing songs. At first, they were all just based on novels that I read. And I started sort of reaching out to bloggers and book reviewers that reviewed these books and being like, hey, I wrote this song about this book, and I thought you might like it. And so that's how I kind of got going with it. And eventually I started writing songs that were a little bit humorous.
Uh-oh. Did we lose a John?
No. Okay, I'm glad it wasn't just me.
Oops, yeah, did I? I'm like, I'm listening.
There you are. We lost you in the middle of humorous.
You had all of us thinking that it was all us.
Yeah,
we lost you in the middle of humorous.
Sorry about that. So I started writing some kind of humorous songs, and I had my George R. R. Martin is not your, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on the...
Say whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the George R. R. Martin is not your bitch song, which was, I wrote after reading a blog post by Neil Gaiman, and that song quickly became my most popular song, and I was listening to Sword and Laser, which had just started. Sword and Laser was not out for very long. This is going back, I don't know, well over 5 years ago. I don't know, whenever days of Sword and Laser was. And
there was a time that it wasn't on the internet, guys.
I know, that's scary to think about.
And so I had, they had an episode where they talked about George R. R. Martin, and they talked about music. They had another sort of musician who was doing some things a little bit like what I was doing. And I just put the George R. R. Martin song out. And I think they were talking about that Neil Gaiman blog post. So I emailed Tom. I had no previous relationship, but I thought it was very appropriate, because I don't like to bother people. So I just said, like, hi, you guys were, I really like the show. And for people at home, I'm air typing right now to show you how I write emails. But because this is really
it's good Italian radio. It's good radio.
I'm Italian, so I have to do everything with my hands. So I
valid.
Yeah,
completely valid.
Yeah. So I said, you know, you're talking about George R. R. Martin. I'm a big fan, and I actually wrote this song. I think you guys would like it. So Tom liked it a lot and played it on Sword and Laser way back in the early days, and then Tom and I got to be kind of friendly and through that. And that eventually led me to, you know, he'd asked me to be on a couple of his shows, which I don't. And Tom has had so many podcasts over the years that I think the shows that I've been on with him are, I don't know if any of those shows exist anymore. I think I was on.
He's had a few shows.
I think I was on Forecast. I don't think Forecast exists anymore.
No. It kind of does, but kind of doesn't. It's a
segment of.
So anyway, so I was on a couple of those, and then when Paul and Storm were playing Nerdtacular, I just sort of put it out to Tom. I'm like, I don't really know Scott Johnson that well, but I met him on that podcast, and I would love to come. I basically invited myself to the first Nerdtacular. I think I would be an excellent opener for Paul and Storm. So I threw that out there to Tom, and I'm like, do you think it would be too presumptuous if I asked Scott about this? And he'd be like, no, I think you should. And I did, and they thought it was a good idea. And that's how I got involved. And then they asked me back last year, and that was really fun. And I'm not going to be at Nerdtacular this year. I think the music guest this year, I believe, is the Double Clicks, who are awesome. Yeah. So if you are going to Nerdtacular, I don't know if they're the only Allen use a guest or if they're having a couple other ones too, but
it's them and Andrew Allen.
Andrew, okay, cool. Yeah. So the double clicks are awesome. I've done some shows with them
thanks,
before
guy.
Too.
That's right. I appreciate that. Sorry.
And now you know how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's daytime there. That's a thing. Like, it's not daytime here. People shouldn't be doing that.
But the double clicks are great. So if you're going to Nerdtacular, you guys are really gonna love them. So yeah, so that's how I got involved in that. I was talking to Tom at one of the Nerdtaculars, I forget which one, and we were talking about booking guests, and we were talking about how we're always surprised how quickly authors will say yes. And we were just saying, like, there's like a big gulf between, say, your George R. R. Martin and your Neil Gaiman, who you can't even really get anywhere near in terms of being able to contact them.
Yeah.
It's like multiple levels of publicists and stuff, and that's kind of hard to get through. But what's funny is authors who I would consider not really that much further down the ladder than them, surprisingly easy to get. Or at least that's been my experience. You know, maybe the show has been running long enough where we're somewhat legit and there's been a couple of big names on it. So maybe that's why. But even when we were like, you know, CJ, you jokingly said, like, from being on your little podcast, air quotes again, it's just like, that's, if you do podcasting, you know, that's some, you know, so basically a rule in my life is like, I just say yes. Like, unless it like really sounds horrible, like I just say yes to things.
Like, again, that's the reason why I'm surprised you came on here.
Just can't say no.
And I'm a raging narcissist, so I like to hear myself talk. And if people are interested in hearing it, it really fills that hole that's in me a little bit. So that's really what it comes
Thank
down
you.
To.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we were able to fill your hole a little bit.
Fill your narcissistic hole. Okay.
Sorry,
put that as a show.
That's the thing. Is like kind of like you. I've just kind of stumbled on to actually talking to real people on this. We started off with just talking to people in the Frog Pants community, and then we had Brian Ibbett on, and then we had Scott Johnson on, and then we've had Tom Merritt on twice now, something like that. And I'm like, and I'm just so surprised that these people, that, you know, people like you and people like Tom, people like Justin, Robert Young, they're like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's go. And I'm like, really?
It wasn't my default attitude in life, but it's something that over the past couple of years that I've really worked on, because I'm unfortunately like inherently mistrustful of people, and that is not a good way to walk through life. It's really not, because you close yourself off to things much more than you protect yourself from things. You know, I mean, yeah, once in a while you're going to get burned by having that, but it's really rare, and you're gonna get more out of it, out of life than not by just saying yes. I mean, I say yes to every, you know, it sounds like I'm making a joke, but like it was something even with like my wife, for instance. Like, I just say yes. Like, if she says something or asks something, I just like, yep. Because I don't always do that. That's the default that I try, because it's like, well, if I just say no to everything, then it's like, you're always in this sort of negative cycle, and you're always in this kind of arguing about everything. And it's like, half the time what people are asking for is so little bit of effort on your point that by you saying no, you actually create more work for yourself a lot, because you're just having to navigate the, like, so even using, you know, I mentioned my wife. Well, if I say no to something, or I'm just resistant to things all the time, because I my default is probably to be resistant, then it's like, then it's a lot of like discussion and arguing. And it's like, you know, if I just said yes and just did it, even if I didn't like doing it, it was over.
Less work.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do in life, is fill my narcissistic hole and do a lot less work. So, I mean, these are the two things. So it seems, you know, like an altruistic thing, but it's really, it really is very selfish. So that's what we're really getting to.
There's no problem. I mean, there's not a problem at all with that. You've done several things. One made me feel significantly less proud about the achievement of having you on the show.
Well, shooting CJ down is always epic win.
And two, made me realize I do the same thing. It's actually, yeah. I joke about this, but it's 100% true. It's how I got engaged and how I got married. Ask Rachel. No, it's legit. It's fully legitimate. No, ask Rachel.
I can't argue it.
And it makes kind of the same thing that I default to as well. So it's quite frightening that there are other people out there that think similar to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I also, you know, in doing like the Functional Nerds podcast, I had the idea for that podcast. I sat on that for 6 months to a year because I was afraid it was going to be a lot of work. And I was like,
man,
Patrick Hester, who does the show with me, he used to do a solo podcast and I used to do a solo podcast. And well, I don't like solo podcasts. I never really listened to any. And anytime I did, and I'm sure there are some good ones out there that are just one person, no guests, just talking. But typically that's not the best format, in my opinion, for a podcast. And I was doing a solo one and he was, and I listened to it. We were kind of friends on Twitter and I listened to his and he was listening to mine. And he had said he would refer to himself as a functional nerd. And that wasn't the name of the show. And every time I would listen to it, I'm like, that's the name of the show, man. Like, why is that not the name of the – so I sat on this for a long time, and I already had, like, some contacts in publishing from doing my music. And I finally said, like – after I sat on it forever, I was just like, I have this idea. I don't want to work, but I keep going. So basically, I just convinced Patrick to do all the work, and it works out great for me because I'm on a weekly podcast and I basically do no work. So you're noticing a theme. And
welcome to Geek.io, where I brought Jared Budlong on to do all of the work.
I was thinking the story of when you were talking about. You just wrote in randomly. That's how I got on this show. Is I wrote in because I was listening to Tadpole Tech, and I was actually modifying a webcam. I never actually finished that project. I just realized that I was modifying a webcam to make it an infrared camera to put in my son's crib area, not in the crib, but in the bedroom to look at his crib. He's now three, so it's been a while.
A bedroom.
Listen. You know I don't do words. The whole point of that story was I was writing into Tadpole Tech or joking about me talking about making a webcam and listening to it. They were talking about kids, and I was like, haha, toddler tech, and wrote in and thought it was funny. And they're like, hey, you should come on the show one time. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. I've got a spare mic. And then it happened again, and I was like, we could just do this all the time. That'd be great. And then CJ was like, "Hey, you should like record stuff.
You should do all the projection.
You could post it to the website, and then
you'll be my partner."
And then CJ's like, "I'll just talk, and that'll be it."
Can I remind everyone how I ended up on the show? That was a fun experience.
and then Jared said, "Hey Dale, you should do some of this." And I won't do it anymore.
And Dale was in the chat room, and we're like, "Hey, Dale, you want to be on the show?" And then he never left.
I'm very good at conning people into the show and doing work that I don't really want to do.
We have no one. Dale. I'm like scrambling for a microphone.
Well, we were talking about Tom and you know, you guys have mentioned obviously Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett, and I think. The two times that I was at Nerdtacular and just from spending a little bit of time with them, what really had a big impact on me was how, you know, you're talking about how you kind of got involved in the community, is how devoted they are to their community. Yes. It's everything. Legit, this is like behind closed doors conversations that I had with them. It wasn't like, we're saying this because we're catering to the fans. It's like, no, it's everything to them. It really is. And they don't put themselves above anybody, and they realize that their community and their listeners are the reason why they're doing what they're doing, why they're getting to basically do it full time. And I think everybody here and everybody listening is probably well aware of, you know, Tom's situation with you know, basically using Patreon to, you know,
yeah,
you know, raise a lot of monthly funds to, yes, help fund his podcasting, and Scott and Brian too.
Patreon.com/geekio, just putting that.
Yeah, up. And it's it's funny because Functional Nerds, we'd always thought of doing a Kickstarter. We had seen other podcasts do Kickstarters before, and I'm like, well, we do the show every week. It's not like we do seasons. It doesn't really make sense. What are we going to do, a Kickstarter every 6 months? I don't want to do it. And so we're trying to do Patreon too, but we or Patreon, I never know how to pronounce it, but that's one of those things where we haven't delegated how we're going to work that out and how we're going to do it. Because I had mentioned it to Patrick. I was like, yeah, you know, I think this might work for podcasting because, you know, people can pledge per episode or per month. And I think people would do something per month. And if we had some perks, you know, we have a pretty decent audience. We've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, we're at almost 200 shows now. And he sort of like brushed me off a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, here's the link to Tom's page. This is a couple months ago. And then he immediately emails me back. And this was, Tom's at a lot more now, but at the time I think it was like 7 or 8 or something. And he was like, Tom's making like $8,000 a month doing fine. We gotta do that. And I'm like, I don't think we're gonna make that much, Patrick. Like, let's have smaller goals, smaller amounts. But I think if you're gonna do something like that, I think. Well, it's certainly helpful if you have the following that Tom has and the following, yes. But that's not by accident that they got there either. You know, it is because they have this real commitment to the people that listen to them, and it's, they're treated much more like, and people pay lip service to this a lot, but it's for real with them. They really treat people like family. And if you haven't been out to Nerdtacular, you will see it is a very family vibe. It is not a, we're up on the stage, you're down there. It's very inclusive. And I think it's almost like, I'm going to make a little bit of a comparison here. It's kind of, I think Scott and Tom and Brian, I think they're almost like the Ramones or the Velvet Underground. While they're yeah, they're popular, I think more than anything else, they've inspired a lot of people to do it. You know, so yes, there's always, so I feel like half of the audience for Frog Pants shows are podcasters themselves now. I think they, yeah, really, maybe not half, but you know,
that's how we started.
That's what I mean. And yeah, I know a lot of people who are in that audience were inspired by them to do their own podcast. It is kind of like that, you know, there's that musical, and I'm not even a big Velvet Underground fan, but it's like, yeah, only, you know, 1,000 people bought that first Velvet Underground album, but all 1,000 people started a band. And, you know, it's kind of like that with the Ramones too. It's like,
yeah,
the Ramones made it seem like, oh, you know, because you got to think about when the Ramones come out. And again, it's not one of my favorites, but, you know, when you think of punk rock, what comes before punk rock is, you know, like Led Zeppelin and a lot of progressive rock. And I love progressive rock, so I'm not about to bash either of those because I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan and a huge progressive rock fan. But if you think of Led Zeppelin circa 1975, it's almost like they're Greek gods, like that they're coming down from Mount Olympus to play for you. And it seems so far removed from anything that you could possibly do. And then like the Ramones come around and you're like, hey, I think I could play those 3 chords on the guitar, and that dude doesn't sing that great. Like, I could probably, yeah, do that too, but I like these songs. Yeah. And I know I'm making a comparison that like Scott and Tom are really not very good podcasters. And I think I can be not very good, but I think that the comparison is apt in just that, yeah, they make people feel like they can do something.
They can do it too. Yeah.
They can do something.
They're very real.
It's the, yeah, opposite of what most people get from most, like movie stars. We all know they're real people, but we don't we don't see that. Whereas with Tom and Scott and Brian and even some other podcasters, they all feel like
they're
you're
people.
They're just hanging out, and you happen to be in the same room at like a coffee shop, and like you're mm-hmm. just you're a part of the conversation, not a yeah. we're creating this for you to watch, and you can pay us money.
Like, yeah, and it's even better when they're like that. Even like my favorite story is I stayed with Brian Ibbett at Dragon Con a couple years ago, and it's just fantastic talking to them when they're not quote on stage. They're the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We had him. We had Brian Dunaway, Andrew Allen, and who else?
That was it for the big names.
Yeah.
The big names.
I love how we're like, they're all just real people. Well, that was it for the big guys. I mean, you know.
They're still there.
Joe
was
there.
They are living the dream, except for Brian Dunaway, who still lives in South Carolina. You can't live the dream and be in South Carolina. I'm sorry.
Sure you can. There's enough alcohol in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because whatever – and maybe they're in the same boat as I am, but maybe it's because whatever little bit of success, however you want to define it, that I've had doing music came a lot later in life. Like I was already well into my 30s by the time I started really making any noise with this. And
I see what you did there.
So I think, I legitimately have kind of aw shucks mentality with a lot of it, because if I see someone, and they're not always younger, but they sometimes are. But when I see someone that's at 11, we'll just use music as an example. And I see, and I know you shouldn't judge people by the amount of Twitter followers that they have, but I totally judge people by the amount of Twitter followers they have.
Don't look at mine.
Don't look at mine either.
No, well, here's the thing. I think it's fine. You can have two. It doesn't matter. But if you talk a lot of shit and you got three people following you, then it bugs me. I hate when I see anybody sort of, but especially someone who hasn't really done a whole lot, and they're talking about my fans and their fans.
Yes.
And,
oh my God! Yes.
Crazy. It drives me insane. It drives me insane. Like I don't know. Like. Because I can't think of it that way. It doesn't really make sense in my head. And it's, when I was in my 20s and playing, I wanted to have fans. But then by the time there were people that could be called that, I just didn't make any sense to me. It's like, oh, like, and I find I use too many words. It's like, oh, there's some people that like my music and like what I do, and they give me money sometimes because they like what I do. And you mean fans? That sounds weird to say that. I wouldn't say that. They like some of what I do, and it's cool. And we hang out on Twitter and Facebook and talk about Star Wars, and they like my music. You know, it's like I can never bring myself to say fans, because it's not, because I think the good relationships that I've had with people is because we just talk about stuff. Like if you follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, it's not a lot of me picking my albums. I let people know about my albums, but that is a very small percentage of what I do. I usually just, I tweet.
Post Feedly stuff.
Yeah. I have a buffer and a Feedly, and I tweet out stuff about book reviews and news about Star Wars and like just stuff that I like that I think people who are friends on Twitter and Facebook would like too. And a lot of it too is I try to let people know about people who I consider friends at this point, whether it's, and a lot of those are authors. Like when they have new books out, I try to let people know about them. And if some of my musician friends have a new album out, I try to let people know about that. And, you feel a lot better going through life when you're spending more time talking about other people than talking about yourself. Because if you just talk about yourself all the time, especially like on Twitter, and you see it, you go to someone's Twitter page and it's just like, and I'll use authors as an example because I'm in contact with a lot of authors, but you'll see some people who are just like, buy my book. My book's on Amazon. Buy my book. And that's like 30 tweets in a row where that's all it is. It's just like everything is just pimping their stuff. And it's like, well, now you've basically muted yourself because nobody pays attention to that. It's
really, yeah.
It's amazing that some people still do that because I think, you know, 5 years ago, if you did that, you know, you could be, you know, forgiven because maybe you didn't know better. But at this point, I think you should know that is not a great, it's not a great life strategy, much less like a social media strategy, if such a thing exists.
Yeah, exactly. Before, really quick, we'll go ahead and talk about you a little bit more, and then we'll talk about you some more in the next segment. But how did you really get started with music?
With music in general, or just in
music in general / your recording career / whatever.
I'll go fast. Like, I played the saxophone when I was in fourth grade,
and nice.
I went to a Catholic school, so it only existed in fourth and fifth grade, and then there was no music program through middle school and high school.
Ouch.
And then, which is one of the reasons I'm a music teacher now, because I always felt like, oh, that would have been nice to have a music program, like, all through school. But then when I got to high school and I was about 16, that's when I started playing guitar. I was just, I think a lot of teenagers get into music at about that time, and I got, like, super into music, and I was really, and you'll see me tweet about this all the time because I still like it, and amongst lots of other music, but I tweet all the time about hair metal because I was super into hair metal when I was like 15, 16. Like, I won't say loved, I still like all this stuff. So, like, I love Def Leppard and I love White Lion and White Snake. Like, I loved all that, and I was just really inspired to play guitar from all that. And then from that, I got into like the guitar virtuoso guys like Joe Satriani and Steve Vai and Eric Johnson and all those dudes. And I wanted to play guitar like that. And then I got into progressive rock like Rush and Yes and all that kind of stuff. And then very quickly, I just was one of these kids that I got so obsessive about it that I taught myself for about a year, and then I took lessons and was like, oh, yeah, I want to go to college and study this, even though I had only been playing for a very brief period of time. And I practiced for about – people think I'm joking, but it was at the time I would do, especially in the summer, I'd do about 8 hours a day where I would just sit in my room and practice. And I had the polar opposite relationship with my father than probably most teenage boys have with their father, where when I was 17 and it'd be a Friday night, he'd come into my room at about 7 o'clock. He's like, hey, you going out tonight? And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay home and practice. You sure you're not going to go out tonight? My dad like wanted me to go out. Like, he's like, why are you sitting here playing your guitar?
Nice.
And so I just was really obsessive about it and into it and went to college and studied classical guitar and got my music education degree. And because at the same time I was, you know, I initially went to college because I thought I would, like, you know, join a progressive rock band and then we'd get signed while I was in college. You know? But I was also quite pragmatic, and I just figured, like, well, I'm here, and like a music performance degree doesn't really mean anything in terms of getting a job. So I got an education degree and I started teaching right out of school. So I've been in teaching in the same school since I got out of college. But and that was one of the reasons I was interested in being a teacher, because I felt like, well, I'm going to work from 8 to 3 every day and I'm going to have the summer off, and that'll give me a lot of time to work on music. Now, when you get married and have kids, that time is quickly enough.
Annihilated.
In the years before I was married, and especially in the years before I had children, I used a lot of that time to do music, and I just felt like, well, if I don't take the teaching job, then I'm going to have to get a job. Like, I worked in a Starbucks when I was in college too. And I'm like, well, I'm either going to have to just like take more hours, like work every Friday and Saturday night and not be able to do gigs, or I can get this teaching job and get benefits. And I was very practical about everything. And this is long before the internet really was. I mean, the internet was around, but this is, you know, way before you could sort of launch a career on the internet. Like, it was, music was, you either get signed by the time you're 25 or you're not going to have any sort of career. And that was the other thing that was very inspiring about Jonathan Colton, was that I think Jonathan Colton was about 35 or so when he did Thing a Week. You know, he was not a kid. And I think that inspired a lot of people, too. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter, because that was – because Jonathan Colton's only like maybe 2 years older than I am, so we were kind of close in age. And I just felt like, oh, yeah, you could still do this. And so I just – I became more of a singer-songwriter over the years than a – like I was sort of hotshot guitar player guy through high school and college and even in my early 20s. But then like with each successive band I was in, I did a little more singing and a little more songwriting, and eventually it became – If any of you have ever played in a band before, it can be a very frustrating experience because everything is slow, because there's like four or five people in a band and every decision's got to be put through everybody, and there's always someone that's kind of lazy, and then people's priorities are different, and it's like, we got to play. So I live in New Jersey, so the big thing in New Jersey is always, if you're an original band, or at least at the time, it was like, we got to go into the New York and play. We got to go into the city and play.
Yeah.
And I've played all those places in the city. Like, I've played CBGBs when it was still a thing, and I played like all like the famed places. Guess what? It's not hard to get a gig there, because you just call and they book you on a Monday night with eight other bands, and they're like, try to bring at least 30 people. Like, they just wanted you to bring people so they can sell drinks. Like, it's no big deal, and it does nothing for building an audience or something. It's not like you're going to be playing some hip bar in the village and some record company guy is going to, and this is 20 years ago too, I'm talking, forget now, but I mean, even 20 years ago, that never happened. It's like, listen up, everybody, it's not 1979 anymore. You don't like play someplace and like, but there, you always, you're in bands with guys, or I was always in bands with guys that were like still very deluded in that way. So I got sick of all that delusion and just being slow. And so I eventually just was like, you know what? I think I can do this by myself. And at the same time, I was kind of getting into a lot of like folk singer songwriter type people. And so then I sort of was a pretty straight ahead folk singer songwriter guy and played the coffee shop circuit in the tri-state area and kind of had a name for that for a while. And then that eventually sort of morphed into me doing sort of the geek centric stuff that I've been doing for the past 7 years or so, because I was kind of already writing. I wrote a song about Isaac Newton while I was doing that.
Wow.
And then I just started thinking like, yeah, you know, I like this song and I want to, you know, you guys know from doing your own podcast, you know, you kind of, if you're trying to appeal to everybody, then you appeal to nobody.
Yes.
So I just thought like, well, what can it be about my music that appeals to a smaller group than me just trying to appeal to the whole world? And I thought like, well, I like these more intellectual topics, and I like science fiction, and I like fantasy, and I like kind of nerdy stuff, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I just started focusing my songs on that type of subject matter, and had success with it. Like, that's, I was reinforced for doing it. You know, it's like, oh, I put these out there, and now all of a sudden, like the George R. R. Martin thing was really the big like sort of breaking point for me, because I kind of had something going a little bit before then, and then besides the fact that like Tom played it on Sword and Laser, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I only would have done this once, but when the song was out for about a week, I had actually tweeted Neil Gaiman, and I have no relationship with Neil Gaiman, and Neil Gaiman, even at the time, had about 1 million followers. I think he's got about 2 million now. I'm not sure. And I just, and I had, said like, hey Neil, I read your blog post about George R. R. Martin not being your bitch, and I agreed with it, and I wrote a song about it, and I put in the link, and I only tweeted him once, and I would have never tweeted him again. I would have never bothered him, more than the fact that I think like, hey, even Neil Gaiman's got to think it's pretty, because if you've heard that song, like any of my songs, it's not just me sitting at my kitchen table like I am now with an acoustic guitar singing about it. It's like, it's a full on production, and you know, yeah, it's the whole shebang, you know? And so he had, I believe Neil Gaiman's tweet of that wasn't just a simple retweet. I think he retweeted it with like the, you know, the prefix of, oh my God, he actually did, like, meaning like this moron actually wrote a song about my blog post. So he gave it like a real ringing endorsement. And well, when Neil Gaiman tweets out to his million or so followers, that netted a lot of downloads of that song. And yes, then from that, then George R. R. Martin wrote a blog post about it like a week later.
Oh, wow.
And nice. So, and this is all like pre Game of Thrones, the TV show and everything too, but George R. R. Martin still had a big following too. And what always cracks me up about that song is I was foolish and didn't put a YouTube video. Someone else put a YouTube video of that song of just like, you know, cover one of George R. R. Martin's books and my song. And that's got like 25,000 plays, even though I never actually officially put a video up there because I'm stupid. But what's funny is if you look at the comments of anything where that song ever gets posted, it always just degenerates into being like, still what the song is about, like, George R. R. Martin's really got to write that book. He's really late on it. And it's like, it's the stuff that the song is against that people get into arguments about it in the comments. And I'm like, have we not listened to the lyrics of this song?
No.
But
people argue on the internet for things that not
welcome to the internet.
I recommend staying away from YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, I know YouTube is the worst in terms of the comments. I never really read
the
comments.
Actually, it's gotten better if you have the Google Plus stuff enabled.
Yeah.
Where you only see people that you know or are tied to by other people instead of just random anonymous people. It's gotten better. But
yeah,
because anonymous people suck.
That's another thing.
Whoa, we should clarify. We're not saying anonymous.
You don't want to say that.
No, just anonymous people making comments typically.
Yeah, not the anonymous people. Royal anonymous people suck.
Yes.
But I know, John, you actually said you had to go at 11, and so I'm going to be the wet blanket here and say that it's 11.
Well, is there some official way like that we wrap up my appearance here, or do I just like sign
normally
off?
Normally, it's the end of the show, but is there any place that you want to send people at on the internet so they can find you if for some odd reason they listen to this and don't know where you are located at?
You could just Google John Anilio, and you'll find my website, which is johnanilio.com, and you could follow me on Twitter at John Anilio, and that will lead you to all the various places that I am. So
awesome.
All right, well, everybody, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. I know I said like I just say yes to everything, but I don't actually say yes to everything.
I don't. That's right, because no, we're special.
You are special. No, seriously, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun, and anytime you want me on, just ask back, or if I can do a favor for you, just let me know.
Definitely. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, guys, have a good rest of the show. I'll talk to you.
Have a good night.
Night.
And that, folks, was John Anilio, johnanilio.com, at John Anilio on the Twitter and pretty much anywhere else on the internet. It's A-Neil-I-O, where you put Neil in.
Right. Right.
All right. So now that he's gone, and we were going to do this with him here, but let's go ahead and move on into the next segment.
Wait, so are we doing T3 or are we going to show to go to the break? I'm so confused.
T3, why not?
All right.
Actually, yeah, let's go ahead and do a
Yeah. Say.
We're figuring this thing out live. Yeah, because we're not doing my Geek Out segment, are we?
Well, we're the only people that actually pay attention to the Steam things or actually care. And it's been a very light news week for those, you know, for
I know,
like, geek
it's
news
been
and
awful.
Stuff like that.
Someday I'll get to play games again. Someday.
Yeah, Jazz has not figured out how to properly play games with a kid, so.
Hey.
I'm not even going to comment on that. Hey, Budlong, play the break.
All right, so yeah, we're going to go ahead and go to a break, and during that I keep saying this, and it's a big deal to me personally, not to anybody else, but this is Musicians Month, and each week that we have somebody on, we are going to play one of their songs on the show. And this week, Mr. John Anilio himself actually recommended we play this. It is Steampunk Girl from, I don't remember the CD's name.
It's like Laser Robot Love Songs or something. Hold on.
Love Chicken Triangle.
Wait.
Drumsticks.
Hold on.
Buffalo Wangs. Zombie Buffalo Wangs.
Seriously? Wang. What doesn't... Okay, Laser Zombie Robot Love.
All right, yes. Go. And that is up on johnanilio.com as well. So on that note, break time is now, ad time, and also music time is now as well. So we will be back. Stay tuned.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is JD from How It Stacks here to talk to you about ProXPN. It is a private VPN, which basically means it is going to mask your IP address, protecting your data. So if you're out on the interwebs doing things you might not need to be doing, or if you're banking online overseas, it will help mask your data and keep it completely private. And you can do this for only $6.25 a month regularly, or you can use Geek20 for 20% off. So it's a pretty stellar deal, guys. And I'm just going to be honest, with all of the stuff that we've had going on, it's a good idea to invest in something like ProXPN.com. So I am JD, and I approve this message. What's up, everybody? This is JD with How It Stacks. I'm here today to talk to you about Think Geek. We all know who they are. We all love what they sell, but the best way to get to them is geek-io.com/thinkgeek. Once again, we are proud to announce that Think Geek is a part of the Geek.io network, and the best way to get to their website is geek-io.com/thinkgeek. I am JD, and I approve this message.
Check out This Working Droid with Headphones Neil, bringing tips and tricks Monday through Friday on using technology a little bit better, be it things you know and stuff you don't. Subscribe at Geek.io today.
Sherry slides the gate and closes up for the night. Walks through the mall in silence. Gets in a Chevrolet and blasts the Cure and the Smiths. Puts a flask to her lips. Takes exit 22 and pulls in her parking space. Climbs up the fire escape. Steps into a bedroom and crashes onto a bed. Brings stockings from her legs. She looks in the mirror and thinks that it's time to start another life. So she's putting on her goggles and a bowler hat. She checks her pocket watch, adjusts her rocket back. She laces up her boots and puts her makeup on. She grabs her leather coat and her Tesla gun. She dreams of brass and gaslight. Imagines taking a trip on a steam-powered chicken. Instead she opts a flight to a sci-fi convention. Now it's her intention to finish her novel, then go back to school and learn to live again. On her goggles and a bowler hat. She checks her pocket watch, adjusts her rocket back. She laces up her boots and puts her makeup on. She grabs her leather coat and a Tesla gun. But she used to be a gawker, now she's a steampunk. We'll be right back.
And again, a special thanks to John for being on the show earlier. You're listening to Geek.io. Thanks for coming back from the break. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder.
In.
What?
Thanks for tuning in, if you're now just joining us.
Hey, we are live on Alpha Geek Radio.
Know where you're going. There you go.
Just want to make sure everybody know you can reach the show on Twitter, /Geek.io Show, Facebook/Geek.io Show, and if you're on Google Plus, the easiest place is to go to gplus.to/geek.io network, because the default network name is kind of ridiculous. Our site is geek-io.com, where you can find all of our shows on the entire network, show notes, blog posts for all kinds of crazy stuff, and you can always send us feedback via email, feedback@geek-io.com.
Hi, Burnham.
We are still surveying our listeners, Burnham, across all of the network to find out what you like or don't like about all of our shows. Help us out by clicking the little survey link, or the long survey link. It's at geek-io.com/long survey and then
full survey and short
full survey.
Full stop.
Which is what we say. Yeah, full stop survey, which is about punctuation in Australia. Anyway, it helps us kind of find out what you do or do not like about the show, because we do this all for you. Bye-bye.
Before we get back to the rest of the show, we wanted to mention the Patreon site. I know John talked about earlier that Tom and Scott, we have ours as well. It's patreon.com/geek.io. That's patreon.com/geek.io. It's a way for you to donate monthly recurring payments. So you actually, the cool part is you get to pick how much that you think we are worth. So $1, $5, $50.
Values are value, baby.
Whatever you think we're worth, feel free to... Who was that, Dale? Go ahead and head on over to patreon.com/geek.io and sign up. Thanks.
Well, CJ mentioned the value for value model, and I was like, woo, value for value.
Oh, okay. All I heard was in the middle of nowhere, I heard. All right. So I guess we'll go ahead and...
What the heck is going on?
Somebody's moving furniture. I
not me.
I knocked out my microphone.
Okay.
Ouch.
Well, while CJ recovers, we'll jump into...
That's not as worse as what I...
Gadgets, games, and gizmos. Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew, pew. It's not as bad as when I hit it out of the mixer. At least it was just out of my laptop.
There you go. It
sounded like you were moving a sofa with your microphone. It was ridiculous.
I'm just going to move it like that. My microphone.
What?
You're going to push it with your
microphone.
That's
a weird noise. Can I get that noise from Dale?
add that to the weird noise.
The Dale bombs,
mash
yes.
Up.
All right. I do want to touch really quick on what John has in the notes for what he's been doodling with is playing with doing whatnot with Clone Wars on Netflix, finished Worlds of Radiance by Brandon Sanderson, and Sex, Drugs, and Rat and Roll by Stephen Piercy. Penis. What?
With Stephen's penis? What?
A lot of penis going on around there.
Yes. Dueling penises in the management chat.
You have to say it out loud so it can be a show title.
Yes, exactly. Dueling boners with CJ and Dale.
I am not going to touch that one.
Dueling Which bonus one? Jokes is how mine and CJ relationships work.
Either of them.
This is how it works.
Well done.
I love what? Toys, but they have cooties. I don't do cooties.
I do okay. All of the cooties.
You are don't all you, of the cooties.
Yeah, you have two kids, so I'm just saying.
Well,
never mind. Since Rachel and I have done a lot of the same stuff, I'm gonna quickly do mine because I've done one thing that she has not done. And Daryl bought me The Witcher 2 while I was on sale to congratulate me for getting a job. And I played a little bit of it, and
nice,
it's really fantastic. I am excited to play the heck out of that game. Though I got a game today, actually, from my buddies over at Gust. Atelier Rarona, which is a Japanese RPG, which Bud Long's sleeping now. It's like hypnosis, I swear. But yes, because Bud Long's racist. It's funny because he's racist. Yes, Witcher 2 is freaking fantastic. It really is nice. Like, it is a action RPG with a lot of the regular RPG elements in it, but it's really good. And Rachel, do you want to say the one thing that you've done that I haven't done?
Listen here, shortcake.
Oh, wait. Oh, one more thing before moving on to Rachel's.
One but thing first, not
done. I have done two things, bitch, that you
he
haven't
said,
done.
I'm going to let you finish, but first I got to talk about.
But first, let me take a selfie. What?
Actually, I got something that's really going to affect recording schedule for myself here in the near future. I am going to see a surgeon tomorrow to meet my initial consultation for weight loss surgery.
Oh,
I have a problem with admitting that, you know, I am a fat man, and spoilers if you had some kind of misleading image of me in your head. No, I am a fat man. And I have really, shitty metabolism, and I have tried everything in the workout spectrum with Rachel. We've tried the dieting thing, we've tried exercising, and I have been at the same weight that I have been at for the last 9 to 10, maybe longer, months. So,
well, not only that, but you eat the same way that I eat, and your body hasn't reacted to that, which means something drastic has to be done. I had the same problem. Most of you guys, I actually started right with Tadpool Tech right before I had my surgery.
Yes.
And he's going to be going, hopefully, in for the same surgery that I had.
Either right before Dragon Con or right after Dragon Con. Hopefully right after Dragon Con, so that way I'm not licking stuff through straws while I'm at it.
Hey, on the flip side, you'd spend a lot less money while in Atlanta.
No, that would be a lot of money that we'd have to spend out for protein shakes.
Yeah, protein shakes are expensive as hell.
Hey, so
you guys saw it was full of blue stuff that I was drinking before my magical blue cup. I had blueberries and vanilla bean protein with almond milk as my snack tonight.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys a question because I'm pretty sure it was on this show that I heard about it first. We had a guest at some point who was talking about a future food called Soylent. Does anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's out. Has anybody heard of anybody trying it yet?
No, but if we could figure out where to get it, I would be willing to try it.
It's Soylent.com, I believe. Soylent. Soylent.me. This is not an endorsement. I literally have no idea anything about it. It just...
I'll get in touch with them and see.
I'll do some research on it, and CJ will get in touch with them, and maybe they will be kind enough to let us try it.
Well, I ask because I would want to do it for lunch because I'm out on the road every day, and its sandwiches get old really quick. Yeah. Plus, it's just a lot of bread every day, every week.
Yes.
So if I could do something else healthy, those carbohydrates would be interesting. Yeah.
This news just in, Bud Long has problems pooping.
Whoa. Well,
how did we get there?
Bread and cheese.
What you might want to look into as well, if you're not opposed to drinking a meal, Premier protein shakes.
That's essentially what Soylent is a drink So not necessarily. I just I associate so protein drinks with like muscle builders, and I've heard it gives really bad bowel movements, so I've never
tried. It depends on what kind of protein drink you are drinking.
Yeah, there are protein drinks.
We can talk off air, I guess, about it. But.
There are protein drinks that are directly related for weight loss and not just bodybuilding.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because there are fast release ones and slow release ones, and the fast release ones are for bodybuilding. Slow release ones are for weight loss.
Yeah.
It sounds like another bowel movement. Yeah. Fast release and slow. Never mind.
Yes. Also, dueling boners.
One's for slow release dueling boners, and one's for fast release.
I love how the game man is embarrassed enough not to say that quick.
I got there eventually. That's all that matters. Speaking of fast release.
That's what she said?
I got there eventually.
Anywho.
I don't know what's going on.
Very. Well, Jared, when a Dale and a CJ love each other very much.
Broke Dale.
So now all I can think of is that song, but now instead of when a man loves a woman, I think of when a host loves an intern. And that's what's running through my head.
No, that's
that
doing
that my fan fiction.
Why did the okay? Delbert got a joke into my head yesterday, and now it's stuck in my head thanks to that comment. You guys, how do you get a nun pregnant?
How?
Dress her as an altar boy.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
And that wasn't even the worst one that they threw at me yesterday.
And the show has reached a new level.
We are out. Good night.
Patreon.com. Patreon.com/geekio.
Patreon.com/geekio. No. All right. So, yeah, that's the other thing that I wanted to mention that I'm doing or will be doing without Rachel. Well, kind of not Rachel doing it. So, all right, Rachel, what have you been doing that has not included me? And then we will work together on the stuff that we have worked on together.
As I just announced in our chat in our hangout, I am officially done with all of my work for week 7. I've got a portion of my week 8 work done, and yay, I only have 2 weeks after week 8, so we're almost to the home stretch. Almost. I never changed my calendar to July. Look at that shit. I'm just a special.
You're only 2 days behind. It's fine.
Yeah, it's only July 2nd.
Yeah, but I'm normal.
Unless that says June 2013, then we have a problem.
You can hope you like 2014.
No, I'm not that. I'm not quite that bad, thank you. Wow, holy crap. Yeah, I have. Oh, I was away last weekend. Well, not last weekend. Last week I did the 2014, wow, I can talk, Southwest Character Camp for stuff for school, which essentially means I was doing character building exercises for the classroom, which was definitely interesting.
It's a lot more interesting than it sounds, folks, trust me.
Actually, yeah, it was really interesting. I'm having, words are hard!
You're no longer allowed to make fun of me ever again.
Yes, we are.
Yes, I am.
Because you do it regularly. Rachel doesn't.
Got it. Fine. For a week, you can't make fun of me. The rest of the show and halfway through next week.
I'll be gone for most of the week, so I'm safe.
Dang.
I did a total of 5 different sessions. I did one on bullying and prevention and the LGBTQ communities. One that was engaging families and communities in the classroom. One that I honestly wasn't going to do, but I decided to do because my classmate that was conning me into this actually asked me to go ahead and do it, and she wasn't sure what she wanted to do. It was learning to serve and serving to learn, which initially, yeah, it kind of sounds like religion in the classroom, which does not supposed to happen, but it does. It was not anything religious-based, which I was actually quite impressed about. It is community service in the classroom, and how you can tie community service into lessons within your classroom. one on intrinsic motivation, and one on character and poverty, which it's more so an acceptance of the situations that my students could be coming from, which was kind of cool. All in all, absolutely awesome. Very, very long day. Not nearly enough coffee for being out my door by, you know, 6:45 in the morning. But we made it through. And I'm actually doing eco teacher training summer camp.
Eco teaching thingy.
Yeah. And it's workshops. It's a full week that I'm going to be away. So that week I might actually not be on the podcast because it's 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock, well, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm going to be really freaking tired having to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Rachel, no wakey up early.
Rachel's not a morning teacher. Person. It is what it is. Rawr, yeah, coffee, rawr. Yeah, I'm out of coffee. My cup is officially empty. I'm going to be switching to tea in a minute, and then I'm going to, like, go die a horrible, horrible death because my children are still acting like fools in the room right there. Other than that, I think that's really the big things that I've done without CJ this week. As we mentioned, we are... Yeah, look, I've totally gotten stuff in the notes today. Ha, ha, ha.
No.
And not at the last second trying to make fun of me for not making
I know, it's been
I can still make fun of you, you just don't know that. Ha ha.
Now, the stuff that we did together is, for those who don't know, Regal Cinemas does this thing during the summer where it's dollar movies.
On Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 10 a.m.
Yes, G and PG movies for the family. And check your local Regal Cinemas to make sure that they have it going on. But I know like 90% of them do.
They had it in South Carolina and they have it in Florida, so I'm assuming that they probably do have it everywhere. It's Regal Summer Movie Express is what it's called.
Yeah, we went and saw the Lego Movie this week.
Which was cute.
I freaking loved the Lego Movie. Seriously.
Me too. There you go.
That was a great movie. And it's fantastic. And because it's a dollar movie, so the theater's packed. But it's great.
With lots of little kids.
Listening to these adults laugh at jokes and these kids look at their parents funny.
Actually, we had a kid in front of us that was really very angry through most of it, and his mom starts laughing. Mom, was it mom or dad? I don't remember.
It was dad.
Okay, it was dad. The father starts laughing, and I'm talking. He's got that whole Santa roaring belly laugh thing going on, and his son goes, "Dad, you're embarrassing me." Actually, it kind of was because, you know, I won't lie, I kind of fell asleep because AJ decided, because it's a 2-hour movie. It's not a short movie by any means. We did Paranorman last year with them and they were almost a little too young to do it, but they you know, were good last year when we did it. AJ decided about 45 minutes into the movie that he really just wanted to cuddle mommy and he put his head down and was watching it and I'm like, good night.
Yeah.
So I dozed off and then I woke up and I was like, oh, the movie's still on, dozed back off. I was up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm allowed to doze off in the movie theater with my kid on my lap, especially when he is the cuddler. If he curls up on anybody, they fall asleep. I mean, anybody. So, but yeah, we did that. And,
Lego Movie. And now you understand why Will Arnett is my favorite Batman.
Yes.
Yes. I can actually now completely understand that statement because he's kind of awesome.
I want him to be Batman always.
A bat spaceship.
Bat spaceship.
Spaceship.
And, yeah, that guy was fantastic. Who was it that played Unikitty? Crap, what the hell was
it? I don't remember her name. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Unikitty was played by...
Internet.
Looking things up live is so much fun.
Yes. Alison Brie. It's a lady with a face and a pretty lady with a face. She does an amazing Pinkie Pie.
Yes.
So that wasn't Pinkie Pie, huh?
Nope.
No, it wasn't. Was I did the same thing. I'm like, is that Tara? That's Tara Strong. I'm like, oh, it's cool. It's Tara Strong's in the movie. Nope, that's not Tara Strong.
he was actually very upset when he noticed that. Yeah, I'm in like, the, really? You're like, but it sounds like her. And I'm like, it's not. Yeah. He was very upset. It was.
But
kinda
yes,
cute.
Fantastic. It's I'm going to give it a 9, Tito, myself.
Nice.
I
would say 9, but I have to give it an 8 because I did fall asleep, so something was not catching.
Also, that movie is dark. Like,
yeah.
Like people die a lot, and just because it's Lego people, they get away with it. But there is a lot of death in that movie.
Just put it back together. No big deal.
I know, right?
No, but yeah, no, a lot of people like die horribly. Like some people die like really, really horribly.
Do they die hard?
Oh
no.
No, that was a terrible joke.
You should
feel bad for that joke.
I was trying.
And the other movie that we went and seen this week was the new RuPaul movie, you know, X-Men, Days of Future Parts. Wait, no.
No, really? Days of Future Parts.
No, we went to see the X-Men's Days of Future Ibit.
Nice.
You're such a douche, yeah. Jay.
It's not my fault that poster looks exactly like Brian Ippins.
I can't argue.
Not my fault. It's I loved it. Going in, don't, if you're a comic book fan, you're not getting the comic book Days of Future Past. Don't expect that.
I wasn't.
No, it's really not.
But it is the Days of Future Past for the universe that they created, and they corrected the horrible atrocities that the original three, well, really the third movie created. So I was completely okay with that, and they had Purple Sentinels, which made Rachel very happy. I really enjoyed it. It was good. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't as good as First Class, but it was better than anything else that the X-Men cinematic universe created. And that's coming from somebody who loved X-Men 2.
It's a lie.
It is better than any of those three movies, and the first two were fantastic. But I loved it personally. Have any of you guys other than us seen it? Jazz, I'm guessing you have.
No, I have not seen it.
On Saturday.
Well, you were supposed to go.
I was to say on Saturday, Alicia and I were supposed to have a date night and go, but I got off work later than expected, and the showings were for Days of Future Past, the showings were at 5:55 and then like 9 o'clock. And my wife goes to bed at like 8. So
at pregnant hours, yes.
No, that's regular times. She would go to bed at like 8:30, not pregnant. She's just a really early sleeper. So the problem was I didn't get off work till probably 5:15. So eating dinner beforehand wasn't going to work for the 5:55 because we were planning on going to dinner and then the movie. So we end up changing and going to see The Fault in Our Stars. So I'll talk about that in my segment. But we are going to go see
and
Days
you
of Future Past.
I actually he'll get to that. He'll get to that.
I'll get to that later. But we're still going to go see Days of Future Past on another free trip to the movies because we have gift certificates. So yee-haw on that one.
Yay, gift certificates. That's how we're going to the movies too, so don't feel bad.
Father's Day and helping out some friends and watching their kid, both of those gave us 2 free tickets, so it worked out well.
I won a contest that gave me 2 tickets that we went to go see. We did basically made it 2 buy 1 get 1s. And I got another free movie ticket from the Regal rewards thingy that they do.
Also, you apparently have a dollar theater, which we don't. I wish we did.
Yeah, we don't. Apparently, yeah. We have a $20 theater. That helps.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, I personally, I'm going to give Days of Future Past 7?
8.
No, 8. 8. I'll give it an 8. Yeah, it's really good. But yeah, it is very obvious that it is time to retire that old cast, because they ain't getting any younger.
I'm sad.
Is Hugh Jackman stays the same age?
I was about to say, what about Hugh Jackman? He seems to be ageless.
It's no, just weird, like, he's
except his
buffer.
Weird nose cancer that he keeps getting. No. But
he just keeps getting more muscles.
Yeah, more and more muscles.
Come on.
And that's the height of his face, because, man, his face is starting to age. But it's like, oh, wow, he looks amazing for, like, 763.
He's a perfect Wolverine.
He is, but, yeah, it's time to go. I mean, it's going to be weird getting a new Wolverine, but you know it's going to happen. It has to happen.
Yeah, it has to at some point.
Shut up, your face.
Yeah, I'm making every gay man and woman in the
if
world.
If not, I'll give him some work. If you know what I don't mean.
Oh my!
Whoa! That got blue.
When I hosted an intern, love each other very much.
Well played. But yeah, so that's pretty much what I can think of that we have done, Rachel.
Yes, Rachel is nodding for audio listeners.
I have an audio right now. So. All right, I am going to pick Budlong because his is quick.
Yay! So I'll go ahead and jump into the movie aspect. So we were supposed to go see Days of Future Past. Didn't work out because of timing. We did go out to California Dreaming, which we both thoroughly enjoy. Mm. That was pretty good, but doesn't matter. It's just food. We ended up seeing the
food really
Oh no, I take that back. I had a Swedish redfish martini, and it was delicious. I don't care how fruity it was; it was yummy.
Can I say that's something
wrong with girl drugs?
That's something I hate about American culture right now. It's drink shaming.
Like, you can't go out with
that's not just American, trust me. That's just not American.
You live in Australia, so you don't have it like But no, it's ridiculous that you go out and like, all right, I am a big fan of the Smirnoffs, which have more alcohol per content than any beer on the market. Just putting that out there.
Right.
But it's like, is that all you're going to drink? Yes.
I love me a Long Island iced tea, and I'd like to see.
Yeah.
That'll put hair in your chest.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, dude.
That thing's crazy.
But if it's not,
there's like 12 kinds of alcohol in it.
And a splash of Coke.
And a splash of just
myrrh.
It's,
not manly.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. Yeah. And that's why I'm excited to go to that's why I'm excited to go to Dragon Con with like you, where it's like, all right, we can have a bunch of guys around drinking pink drinks and none of us will care.
I want a caramel apple teeny. I don't care what you say.
Hell yeah.
I want a drink pink drink.
So I had that and a Caesar salad. It was delicious. And then I evidently ordered a half Caesar salad, so Fatty Jared ordered a side of fries afterwards.
Because
I was like, I really want a Caesar salad, so I ordered a Caesar salad, and he brings out this little bowl that's like this big, and I was like, can I get a side of fries with some barbecue sauce? That'd be great. Thanks. wow. So, barbecue sauce. fries and barbecue sauce, man.
If you say so, okay.
Like David Tennant.
It's
fries
really
and mayonnaise, by the way. Mayonnaise.
Oh no, there's not every. It's not every barbecue sauce. It's like KC Masterpiece.
The sweet barbecue sauce.
Yeah. So
not the horrible. You should never eat at Carolina barbecue sauce.
Right. Right.
Mustard and vinegar fucking based bullshit. I went to when we moved to South Carolina. I have a funny story about that. It's like, all right, we're gonna go to a barbecue joint. Cool, because this place is applauded by everybody, all of our friends, blah 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 blah. We go there and I'm like, all right, I want some pulled pork. it's a pulled pork. You want barbecue sauce? Hell yeah, I want barbecue sauce. Bring a barbecue sauce, take a big bite of it, and I'm like,
oh God.
Wow.
That was the end of that.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel. But yes, carry on.
Exactly. So I we ate at Full Moon. Not Full Moon. Dang it, you've got me thinking about barbecue sauce again. Full Moon is a barbecue place in Birmingham. Okay. Oh, you make me want to go to Birmingham just for that barbecue.
It's 4th of July weekend. Everybody's supposed to eat barbecue.
Yeah, go to barbecue.
No, so Publix had a sale on their barbecued spare ribs. It's like $2 a pound, and it's only like four or five, so we bought like three racks of ribs, and we're going to grill out of my parents' house. Anyway, so California Dreaming, not Full Moon. California Dreaming. We ate there, then we went to the movie and saw The Fault in Our Stars. So it's the, not to ruin anything, because you find out in the previews, it's a story about a teenage girl who has cancer and her journey to find, I don't know, she didn't mean to, but she found
acceptance.
Love. Anyway, acceptance and love. So anyway, I actually didn't cry in the movie, and that's not like a bragging thing. I cry at weird things. So we're watching the movie, and there's obviously...
The podcast?
What?
Yes.
Did I say podcast?
Cry over the podcast.
What?
You cry at weird things. The podcast?
Oh, yes. Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it took me a while to catch that.
The same.
It didn't work. Anyway, so there's the parts that are obviously sad. Like, you know, you have the thought of people dying with cancer, and there's some flashback scenes where she's in the hospital and stuff like that gets, you know, normal people. I get hit when the mother has to deliver the bad news they can't take a trip she really wanted to, and that's where I tried to tear up. And I'm like, really? Huh. Like the spot where the mom's like, yeah, we really can't go to Amsterdam, and I'm like, so it's
your wife is the one that's pregnant. You're the one that cries over really random shit.
Yes, but she bawled the entire movie. So there's oh crap! I just smacked the microphone.
But she's pregnant. She's allowed to.
Oh, I know. I was making the point that I almost cried at weird parts, and she cried the entire movie. So it's anyway. It was a really good movie. If you have kids and you're susceptible to emotion, and you don't want to go to a movie and cry, I can't recommend this movie at all. But if you're okay with that, then it is a really good movie, and you should go see it. And what's her name? She has a really weird name, the main actress.
Yeah, she does have a weird name.
She's from, what's the other movie that was out recently that everybody tries to compare to Hunger Games, but it's nowhere near Hunger Games. It's not the same movie.
Divergent,
yes. She's the main chick from Divergent also. Anyway, it's really good, so I highly recommend going to see it.
Shailen Woodley?
Yes, but it's spelled really strangely. The other thing that's been going on this week is we always joke about the fact that I'm in a closet, but I started doing this.
But we don't joke about it because you are in a closet.
Yeah. we joke about
that fact. Anyway.
Yes, we joke about Budlong being in the closet. Yes, we get it.
So I've been in. I started this in in the winter when it's not that hot.
Whoa!
I don't know what that was.
Sorry,
that was just if it makes you feel any better, I was just about to move the curtain and see because there was a flash of light outside the window.
All right,
we're about to get a storm. Sorry,
we may want to wrap this up. So I actually spent about $75 at Home Depot building a. Or installing some ventilation into the closet so that I could get a fresh breeze on my face because it was getting crazy hot in the Alabama southern
Jared likes
summer
being
weather.
Blown on in the closet.
Oh, jeez. So
it's crazy
I've been
hot
waiting all week to make that joke.
Anyway, it's not as... I can't even finish that thought now. I'm just going to move on.
No, it's probably safer that you don't.
The other thing I did this week was finally buy... I finally bought some of the weed eater, like the thread that you put in it, spins around, whatever it's called. I finally bought some of that and finally tore apart the backyard because it's been probably 4 or 5 months since we've touched that thing, and it's kind of rough.
Man.
It was like a jungle, so I finally took that out earlier today. So and it doesn't like to like, you know, the joke that people always make about doing the yard work with a weed eater, and it never wants to spin out more stuff. literally, it was every 5 minutes. I was having to pull the cap off, pull a little bit more in, put the cap back on, and go a little further, wait for it to break off, and do it again. And it took me, like, an hour and a half instead of, like, 30 minutes to do what I should have been doing. It really sucked. So.
Yay, weed whackers.
Yeah. So, I'm going to pass it on to... I'm going to break the rules. Jerry.
Don't do it! Oh, what? Oh, no.
Okay. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to say this. Soylent, false advertising. It is not green.
Yeah, right.
It's white!
It's not people. Okay, it's because it's not people.
I was about to say, it's not people.
The people version is green. The people version is the green one. So anyway,
I might just go ahead and get it.
This weekend, sentences you thought you'd never hear.
The green version is people. The green version is.
Yeah, I mean, okay, to go back to Soylent, I mean, once you look at it and if you find out the details on it, let me know, because it the pricing was actually really good from what it looked like on their site. So I don't know how that works out. And somehow, oh, Dale joined as the podcast network. Okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's okay. Welcome back.
All right.
But yeah, Rachel, let me know about Soylent, because I'm kind of curious.
Are you?
Okay. Back to Azevedo.
Yep. Anyway, we talk a lot about Neil Gaiman, and I am still not finished with American Gods, but I'm down to like 80 pages. So
okay, it's a hefty book. So
it's a fat book, but I'm almost there.
Both F and PH, by the way.
Yes, yes, indeed. But you know, kids and babies, not a whole lot of reading free time, but I do what I can. And CJ told me today that Starz is picking it up to make a show after HBO kind of dropped the whole ball on it, but which is exciting. Fine, whatever show is it going to be?
Too busy
good?
Giving Steve Buscemi work still.
Oh, who could Steve Buscemi be? Anyway,
shot
me in a fish. But Brian Fuller's gonna be doing the show running on it. Brian freaking pushing Daisy Fuller. I'm freaking out. Please let this work out. Don't let this fall through. This is going to be awesome because he would be perfect for it.
Yes,
because it's got because he gets quirky amazingly and he mixes dark and quirky in an incredible way, which will fit this book.
Oh. Shit, I forgot something else that I've been doing. Sorry.
You've been
speaking of dark and quirky, I forgot something that I was watched.
Coraline? What?
No. The Musketeers from BBC. It has the new Doctor in it, the Peter Capaldi, as the bad guy, and he is a fucking fantastic bad guy. It's going to be very interesting seeing him as the Doctor.
He
is super good bad guy, but they kind of went CW with it in that everybody except for Peter Capaldi is hot. Everybody is hot except for Peter Capaldi. Poor Peter Capaldi.
Poor Peter Capaldi.
I don't think he's hot, but yes.
American Gods. Hopefully by the next show I'll be done. And have you read that, CJ?
Or, yes.
Okay. So I'm not alone in this.
No. It is great. And for those also who would like to listen to it, geek-io.com/audible, you can get a
get the audio version read by somebody I forgot, but
somebody. Yeah.
The name sounded familiar when I read it earlier. I could look it up because, you know, this is the internet. While I'm doing that, I talked last week about using the YouTube app on the Roku and Bella watching kid songs. Well, this one that she's grown really attached to is called Hoopla Kids, and it's all these like old nursery rhyme songs, but it is the creepiest thing ever. Like, it's this bad animation with dead eyes and robotic moving around, and it is just so creepy. But she loves it. She loves it and demands to watch it over and over again. Weird monkeys.
You're like, should I be okay with this?
Their eyes look into your soul.
We're not watching this anymore. Let's watch something horrible and violent because I can't deal with this.
I can't handle it. I don't want to hear about the monkeys rolling off the bed.
Monkeys rolling off the bed and they're staring creepily into the camera. Hmm.
Sounds like mine and Dale's relationship.
Yes, it does.
Dale, are the monkeys watching you too?
The monkeys are always
watching. No, the giant spiders are watching Dale.
No, the giant spider ran away.
No,
you told me the giant spider ran away. I'm sad.
Rachel wasn't here on that show.
Nobody told me that Charlotte fell off her web. The dumb bitch couldn't get back up.
That was hilarious. Only in Australia will spiders not get on their own web.
And the audio version of American Gods is read by George Goodall.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Fantastic.
You're welcome. And documentation. You remember that MVC framework library that I built like for a year or so? I'm trying to actually put it out there, and I'm trying to put documentation together, which is also slow going because I basically have an option of working on documentation, reading American Gods, or sleeping in my free time. So that one's usually at the bottom.
Spoiler alert, most of the time it's sleeping.
Yeah, I've recently actually been reading American Gods, but yeah, it's so good. It's hard to put down. And that's pretty much all I've been doing besides working and raising children and trying not to go insane.
By soulless monkeys.
There you go.
I want to eat your soul. And so I guess Dale's the only one left. So what soulless monkeys do you have in your life, Dale?
I have a lot of creepy monkeys. One sitting right over there. I don't know which way CJ is on my camera. Anyway.
Is it really Dale? Or do you just see it there?
Yes, is it really there or is it just in your head? Let's go ask your mom.
It is Thursday, rather than Friday.
Is it there? You see the monkey really there too, right, Mom?
Speaking of seeing monkeys everywhere, finally finished watching Orange is the New Black. So I have to get with CJ. That's nothing new. And with Rachel to rant and review on that. Eventually, at some point, maybe next week-ish, TM, sort of. Look at me dragging off air talk on air. That's...
Next week is copyrighted? What?
Yes.
Shut up.
That's trademarked, not copyrighted.
Next week.
Trademarked.
Yeah. Next week. Boom! Trademark. Your smart-ass correction. Get a smart-ass correction, son.
Next week, TM. And the show notes.
It's supposed to be soon, TM.
Whatever. I don't care.
It's, no, next week TM trademark. With our schedule was actually pretty accurate.
There you go. And also this week, I watched the original Hunger Games because I hadn't watched it before.
Oh, nice.
How did you not see that?
When you watch things for the first... I wasn't around when that movie came out. Well, okay, I shouldn't say it like that. I was over in a third world country when that movie came out, so it's kind of hard to watch it over there.
Australia?
Just shut up.
Come on, I give it Australia at least second world status.
it's a solid movie. It has a lot of things wrong with it, and it's just very... I know it's the point of it. I haven't read the book. They are sitting on my bookshelf right outside in the main area there. But yeah, I need to read the books, I think, because
yes,
that's probably the tone of the books as well. But it was a slow build. Yeah. Mm. Which I suppose is a good thing, I guess. But no, if I was to give it a Tito score, I'd give it a 7.5. Very, very close to an 8. But 7, because I can't give 0.8 or 0.9 of a trainee. Has to be knocked down.
Sure you can. You can just chop off their head. That's fine.
Headless trainees.
Dale gives it one headless trainee and 7 regular points.
If you're training as headless, you better go see.
Please see a physician. If you're training as headless for more than 4 hours, please see a physician.
Oh my!
It is getting late. Oh, we are getting very punchy.
It's the magical hour approaching.
The semester from Hell Grades from the university come out this Sunday. So
Sunday.
Looking forward to those, I guess.
Did they give you any hints as to what you received, or?
Nope.
Well, see, at least I can look at my shit. Like, I fucked up there, and I fucked up there.
Nothing until Sunday. So we don't even know how much we fucked up.
Ouch.
Dumb.
So,
universities don't do that, seriously. That's so stupid. Where I went to school is a horrible, horrible place, and nobody should ever go there.
That's true.
But they did the same thing, and no, just don't do that.
Mm-hmm. So, as you can imagine, my anxiety levels are there at the moment.
I understand completely.
It's like, I don't even know, like, it's, yeah. As long as I pass, I guess, but I don't even know if that's happened, because I don't know until Sunday,
right after the Monster Sunday.
After the Monster Truck, Rattlies, and the football games. Carry on.
What?
I don't know. Rachel was going to say something, and then she stopped.
I was going to say, well, what grades were you getting throughout the semester? Or do they not give you anything?
Oh, we get, well, see, we get grades through the semester, but those can change, which that sucks too.
But fucking your grades change. If you got a 90 on something, you got a fucking 90, not a fucking ball sack. Yeah. Seriously, they can't fucking change it.
They do moderate them.
Maybe not the best period. Combination of words.
Lies and slander.
What?
Yeah, but that's about it. Sunday. So I'll find out how well I did from the semester from hell on Sunday.
On the right side, the semester from hell is over. On to the next one.
And then I start even worse semester from even worse hell next time.
I can actually say I have an easy semester next semester. I say that until the freaking thing starts, and then I'm going to be like, but that's okay.
Yeah, right now she's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem, but mark my words, and, you know, in 2 months, she's
yeah. Welcome to my world. I'm at least preparing for the worst. There you go.
Always prepare for the worst.
Welcome to college. Yeah, exactly. Now you can die. A slow.
And we won't tell you how you do things until the actual day. Stay a while and pay us $1,200 per class. Anyway.
Yep.
Moving on.
Pretty much.
Whoosh.
All right, Dale. You all done?
I'm done.
All right, folks. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up then. I want to thank Mr. Anelio again. Thank you so much for coming on. You can get him at twitter.com/JohnAnelio or mktify.com/Q=John+Anelio. What?
That's let me Google that for you .com. If you had clicked the link, you would find it as funny as I do.
Let me Google that for you is, but I'm not. I wasn't paying attention when you put it in there, so I'm like, mtkify.
Well, I just thought it was funny. He was like, yeah, you can just, you know, Google my name. So I was like, here, let me Google that for you, audience.
But yeah, definitely go to his site. Buy all of the things because they are all super good. And also proving super that, good. You know, Rachel's future does not mean that she's going to be stuck at doing nothing for the rest of her life. Because not just those who can't do teach, that's bullshit, and you should better listen to that.
There you go.
Yeah, frankly, I want to punch the person that decided to say that, because obviously they've never taught, so how the fuck would you know?
I don't want to teach anybody anything. Exactly. That's the hardest, most frustrating thing in the world.
Yes.
I will say this. It is the hardest. It is the most frustrating. It's also the most rewarding, especially when you have
no doubt.
Even if it's only one student. And I had that moment last semester when I had my special needs kid. Absolutely just melted me. And yeah, it's moments like that that I realize that I'm in this for the reasons that I'm in this for.
Yeah.
Oh, the feels.
All right, Rachel. Who do we got coming on next week?
Yeah, why don't you teach us who we've got coming on next week?
We're going to teach you. No, we have the professor returning. That's right. Professor Shy Guy is coming back to keep Musicians Month rocking.
But will he be on some random person's couch eating steak?
Probably. No, at least not from what I've been told.
He's told me no, but that means nothing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I kind of liked him about a random person's couch eating steak.
That was hilarious. I love it.
Feeding broccoli to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I need to try and get rid of this broccoli. I need to try and get rid of it now. Any suggestions? You're coming back. We like
him. He is coming back, and he says he's not going to. But yes, he will be back, and it will be awesome. And now, it's raining. Yay, rain.
Oh, it's lightning, too.
The Summer Movie SmackDown Update.
He said, now it's time for the Geek.io Summer Movie SmackDown Update. SmackDown Update.
Winter, there it is.
All right.
Now it's time for.
There you go.
All right. We just need to take that. And then one of us is going to superimpose our voice over what actual season
now
it is.
Now it's time for
the Winter Movie SmackDown Update.
And now it's time. Yeah, now it's time for the Winter Movie SmackDown.
One problem, boys. It's not winter. It's 90 degrees here.
It is winter.
It's winter there.
Works for you.
I was just getting my part ready for the next bumper. That's all.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And now.
Because now Dale is a Cockney small girl, I guess.
Yes.
Cockney small girl. Anyone?
Cockney small girl.
I'm not okay with thoughts.
I like where this is going.
I don't.
All right. A bunch of wild cards were added to the SmackDown this last week. Daryl bought some movie called Let's Be Cops. Never heard of this movie ever. Are we sure this is being released in America? Because I don't know what this is.
Sure.
It's a cop movie.
I bought Lucy, which is. Which has the Scarlett Johansson and the Morgan Freeman in it, which looks fantastic. Dale bought The Purge.
Okay, that's not the one with Morgan Freeman, isn't that the one?
It's the one with Black Widow and Morgan Freeman.
I thought it was. Oh no, it was the other one that I'm thinking of, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's. Yeah, it was the other one with Samuel L. motherfucking Jackson.
I kind of want to buy that. I don't know if it's on the SmackDown or not. I think it is.
Probably, I don't know. I don't remember what movie that is.
Okay, so here's the synopsis for Let's Be Cops. Two struggling pals dress as police officers for a costume party and become neighborhood, I don't know what, sensations. But when these newly minted heroes get tangled in real-life web of mobsters and dirty detectives, they must put on their fake badges on the line.
Yeah, that sounds like it's about $12.
Yeah.
Outside of these,
I don't know, man. It's got Damon Wayans in it. So,
yeah.
I know which one it is.
Outside of these wild cards, it's been a boring week. CJ, myself, is transforming up the leaderboard, and Dale's record for worst valued movie of all time begins again. Only earning a little over 16K this week. And Jared Azevedo has his wild card movie opening tonight, which is what? You're supposed to put these things in the notes.
Echo.
Oh, yeah, Earth to Echo. Man, that's going to make $12.
Yeah, I don't foresee that making a lot of money.
I didn't spend much on it. I figured it would make some money.
All right. And the leaderboard has been adjusted slightly. Jared Azevedo is still in the lead with $15.1 million. I am in second place with $10.1 million. Jared Budlong is in third place with $7.8 million. Dale is thundering in fourth place with $5.2 million. Rachel is in fifth place with $4.6 million. And Daryl, bringing up the tail, is $2.2
million.
Million? Over on the site this week. Working Droid gets physical. I can read what I wrote with Smash Hits. Gets the vibe wrong for making Wi-Fi calls with Viber because it sucks. Real Insight gets Wolfie with the Wolf of Wall Street. Gamer Geeks Reviews, because that's live now over geek.io.com/gamergeeks. Raul reviews Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and Delbert makes his introduction to the site with his Link Between Worlds review. How It Stacks jumps up and down on your couch exclaiming their love for Tom Cruise in Days of Thunder and Top Gun. No, I haven't listened to the episode yet, but I really wanted to make that joke.
And you get a show, and you get a show. And, oh, wait.
wrong.
Yeah, wrong hostess, I know.
What was that, Bud Lopra?
Bud Lopra.
Wrong Oprah reference. Bud Lopra.
Bud Lopra.
Bud Lopra. Bad Lupa.
That sounds like CJ, a and no, that is not to be confused with the Dirty Chopra.
That sounds like a type of BL. I don't know why.
The image in my head is just so wrong right now.
I have no idea. Oh.
BGM beats the summer heat with music for Konami's Beatmania IIDX series. And over on our youtube.com/geekioshow channel, Raul blasts through Heroes of the Storm several times. Watch him drop all the MOBA madness. Just a reminder that we will be covering Dragon Con this year. Come hang out with us October? What the fuck? August 29th through September 1st.
Good lord,
also,
CJ.
Also, How It Stacks has somehow been award nominated, so you know, you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, I know.
I hate you so much.
That's nice.
And since we're into beating dead horses, no, I'm not going to go there. please remember to visit our Patreon site over at patreon.com/geekio to help us with a small monthly donation, please. It was almost very dark in here. I had to go steal a light bulb from my kids' room today. If you think we're worth $5 for all of the fabulous content we'll give you in your site, call us whatever you want, a shout out at the top of the show, and if you think we're worth $10, well, we'll read a Twitter link post.
There it is. We can be heard on Stitcher Radio. Just search for Geek.io, as well as iTunes. Search for Geek.io and leave us an honest review. If you do so, we would be happy to read it on the show.
Okay, that was a weird noise. On that note...
Well, no, I threw my mic up so I didn't go joking in your guys' ears.
That's what that noise was.
I don't know if you guys noticed what I just posted, but Bob Hastings, the voice of Commissioner Gordon from the Batman animated series, passed away today at 89 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, 89, that's not so
bad. Yeah, he was no baby. But it's still one of those, no, it's the voice of Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon. Well, no, Commissioner Gordon, he's so cute.
All right, and now for everybody's favorite part of the show, Dale Ray's potential news, potential title candidates.
Today's
and
potential
there are some
news
great
candidates.
Ones tonight.
All right, here we go. Today's potential show title candidates were The Knob Looks Like a Penis, Never Seen the Shaft and the Glades, Having Penis on the Mind, Stop Bouncing the Notes, JD Five Ways, this one has two, Nobody Smacks the Muffins, or I'll Smack Your Muffins, Filling Narcissistic Holes, or Fill My Narcissistic Holes with John Anelio. Shit, that was hard. Doing Bona Jones.
Well, if you're filling a narcissistic hole, it typically is hard.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then the next one down is Dueling Bona Jokes. When a host loves an intern, Soylent is a lie. It's not green. The green version is people. Next week, TM, copyright 2014. Headless Chinese and Cockney Small Girl.
Sounds like a very bad ride at Hong Kong Disneyland.
What, the Headless Chinese or the Cockney Small Girl?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Or the dueling boner jokes.
No, that's illegal in China.
Ah.
The bad part is I can see this turning into stop bouncing the notes, I'm having JD five ways. Well, he's filling narcissistic holes. Wait, nope, I filled my narcissistic hole with John and Elio. Like, wait, no.
You can mix it up and have dueling boner jokes five ways. No? Okay.
So speaking of
JD's dueling boner jokes five ways.
Speaking of being illegal in China. I guess we should head out.
Yes.
Although I will say this.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.
Your butt stomped on my word.
I'm so sorry.
Uh-oh.
I blame internet delay because I hit it before you started talking.
Budlong cut off Rachel.
I'm sorry. Do you want to go ahead and say it? I'll leave it in the show.
No, okay. Your butt stomped on my words. It's not nice.
I'm so sorry.